teaching, because God gives it to you however you can receive it. I'm a teacher. I believe in points. And he said, to the degree you live right, you give right, and you walk by faith, you'll see yourself blessed beyond measure. And so over the next couple weeks, that's what I want to talk to you about. We're going to talk a little bit about living right. We'll talk a little bit about giving right, and then walking by faith. I wanted to start with the walking by faith component, because that's how we live. We live by faith. Amen. And so we're going to get into it. Let's make our declaration of faith. Everybody, grab your Bibles. If you're a first-time friend, we just like to pick up our Bibles, and we just make a confession of faith. And so and when we say Bibles, that can mean iPad, iPhone, Android, Bible app, whatever you have, amen, and as long as it don't blow up in the house. Praise the Lord. All right. Just kidding. With a strong voice, like you are glad to be in the house of the Lord, and he is already blessing you. Somebody say, this is my Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right, dual text for our opening, Romans 1 and 17 and 1 John 5 and 4. And of course, they'll have them up on the screens as well. If you use the Bible for your screens for the Bible, that's okay too.
Talking from the subject of walking in great expectation, how many in the room are just believing for God to do some things in their life? Everybody in the room, right? We're all, and so I want to talk about walking in great expectation.
Expectation is breeding grounds for miracles.
Expectation is breeding grounds for miracles.
What you expect, you will experience.
Everybody say, what I expect,
I will experience.
All right, Romans 1 and 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how?
By faith. The just, we live by faith. So the Bible teaches us that we live by faith.
So faith is not a spare tire. It is not something that you just, you know, everybody probably has a spare tire, you know, in on your car. You probably haven't checked it. You probably should check it every once in a while just to make sure that it does have air in case you ever need it, all right? And so, but that is not how we use faith. We use faith every day of our lives. Faith is to be a lifestyle. And so the Bible says that we live by faith. We live by faith. Now go with me to 1 John 5 and 4. They'll put that up on the screen as well. There it is. It says, for whatsoever is born of God does what, class? Overcometh the world. So the Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. Watch this now. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our it is my faith. It is my faith that's going to cause me to overcome in the world. So we live by faith and we win by faith. We live by faith and we win by faith. We live by faith and we win by faith. All right? Everything in the kingdom of God is either accessed or activated by faith. That's just the bottom line. Everything in the kingdom of God is either accessed or activated by faith. Whether it's I'm believing for my marriage to get better, I'm believing for my money to get better, I'm believing for my business to get better, I'm believing for my children to get better, or my grandchildren. You know, just any arena, if you can find the promise in the word of God and put your faith on it, it'll come to pass. That's the bottom line. If you can find, you know, the promise in the word of God, then, you know, and put your faith on it, it'll come to pass. Don't listen to what other people say. Well, you know, Pookie told me it didn't work out for him. Y'all do know who Pookie is, right? All right. And so he didn't work out for him. No, don't listen to Pookie. Listen to the word. You got it? And so you have, hopefully nobody in here named Pookie. I'm just playing. You got it? You got it? And so if I can find the promise in the word of God and put my faith on it, it'll come to pass. Now, let's talk a little bit about how faith works. Our ministry is growing week by week. Every week somebody is either getting saved, rededicating their life, joining the church. And so I want to make sure, even though some of you all who have been with me for a little while know how to walk this faith process out, we want everybody to learn how to walk this faith process out, right? And so let's talk a little bit about how faith works. Romans 10 and 17. And then after that, I'm going to go to Mark the 11th chapter. Romans 10 and 17. Now, let me read it first. Romans 10 and 17 says, so then, faith cometh by, and hearing by. All right? So that is why it is important for you to hear the word of God on a consistent basis. That is why it's important for you to come to church on a consistent basis. Can I get a? All right? You know, just not every once in a while. It's really important for you to come. Now, I get it. You know, you traveling, vacation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, you know, you're not going to be home watching Gunsmoke when you could be at church. You understand what I'm saying? All right? And so some of my millennials are like, what is Gunsmoke? All right? So anyways, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Watch it. If I want faith, I've got to hear the word. And the more word I hear, the more faith I receive. That is why I tell people, the church you go to and the words you hear, it really does make a difference. Being in an environment of faith, around people of faith, will help you produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And it is the will of God for you to have the victory in every single area of your life. I mean, absolutely every area. You can win in every area of your life. Got it? All right? So that's Romans 10 and 17. Now, let's go to Mark 11 and 22. So while you're going to Mark 11 and 22, I'll make a statement. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. You know, of course, if you're not taking notes, just write this down. All right? Faith comes by hearing, but it's released by the words of my mouth. So faith comes by hearing, but it's released by the words of my mouth. Faith, watch this, when I hear the word, I receive faith, but I got to do something with that faith, all right? So faith comes by hearing, but it's released by the words of my mouth. Mark 11, 22 through 24, there it is on the screen. And Jesus answering, And Jesus answering said unto them, what does it say, class? Have faith in God. Now, keep that up. So here, let me give you the backdrop. Jesus is going back and forth, from Bethany. He's going to the temple, one day he's going to the temple and he sees a tree that had leaves on it. Leaves on a tree is a sign of fruitfulness. Jesus gets happy because he's about to go pick some fruit off the tree. Jesus gets to the tree and realizes that there is no fruit on the tree. You got it? It's a phony. You got it? And like some people are, praise the Lord. Don't even go that way. I ain't got time for that. All right? And so I was going to give you three steps to how to deal with that, but I'll give that to you later. All right? Maybe Tuesday night. And so, there's women's Bible study on Tuesday. Maybe I'll come and be a guest speaker for women's Bible study on Tuesday. No, I'm just playing. All right? No, girl. You ain't getting away with that. Everybody wants to hear Lady on Tuesday night. Woo! I got the mic. I got you, girl. All right? And so Jesus sees it, and he curses the tree and says, nobody's going to eat fruit from this tree, and he commands it to die. Goes to the temple, does his thing. They go back to the room at night. They're coming on the next morning, coming by, and Peter notices the tree that just had leaves on it, that was just alive, is dead, and he is amazed. But Jesus is not amazed. So he's amazed, and he says, Jesus, Master, look, the thing you said, it really works. But Jesus wasn't frazzled about that because Jesus knew who he was. You got it? And so Jesus, this is his response to Jesus. To Peter. Mark 11 and 22. And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God, or you could say have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, everybody say that's me. Everybody in this room falls under whosoever. Whosoever shall say, I've got to open my mouth and say something. Nothing moves until I speak. All right? Nothing moves until I speak. It's part of the process of faith that we call those things that be not as though they were. If I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, I'm going to see the word manifest in my life. And so he says, whoever shall say to this mountain, what is the mountain? Any situation, any roadblock, anything you're facing, you got to speak to it. He says, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not, watch this, and shall not doubt where, class? In his heart. He says that I can't doubt in my heart. You got to remember that because I'm going to come back to that. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he shall have whatsoever he. So the question is, what are you saying? Most people have not made a connection between what they say and what they have in their lives. You have what you say. That is why if it gets tough in marriage, you shouldn't start saying crazy stuff. Can I get an amen, couples? You got it? I'm so sick and tired of him. I just want him to go down the road. You know that's not true. You say, well, man, you don't know, Pastor. No, you're just in a fight. But if you stay in the fight, you're going to win. You got it? Because a lot of times, I don't want to get too deep into marriage right now, but you see, a lot of times it's an internal thing that's going on. You got it? And sometimes you don't realize it could be with you. And so if you get rid of that person and go get another person, you're going to have the same problem. And if you kick rid of them, you're going to go get rid of some. At some point, you got to say, I got to walk this thing out by the word of God. Does that make sense? All right? And so you have whatsoever you say. That's why you shouldn't say things like, man, these kids, they about to kill me. You don't want to die. They about to drive me crazy. You don't really want to go crazy, do you? Well, Pastor, you know what I mean. No, I know what you said. And it is, watch this, and that is why we have to have a discipline to only say what the word says and to only say what you want and not be moved by whatever situation you're going through. Because look, some things in life get challenging. Things in life get tough. Jesus says you're going to have some tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. He said, I've stripped it of its right to harm you and to hurt you, but it doesn't mean you won't go through some things. So watch this. Spirit of God, in the beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning, you know, God made the heaven and earth, and it was without form, and it was void, and it was dark, right? That's not what God wanted. He wanted light. You got it? But you notice, he didn't say, oh my me, because he couldn't say, oh my God, because he's God. Oh my me, there is no light. He couldn't do that, right? No, because he understood that you only say what you want. So he says, let there be light, and what happened? Light took off, right? And so when you're in a situation that doesn't look good, that looks bleak, you only say what the word says, and you only say what you want. So if you're in a situation, you know, the doctor tells you, hey, we got a x-ray, it shows a spot on your lung. The first thing that's going to happen is the devil's going to put a thought in your mind, you're going to die. That's the first thing. Right? But that is not truth. You got it? John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. And then the next thing he says is, thy word is true. So that might be a fact that there is a spot on my lung according to, you know, the x-ray. But the truth of God's word is that Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of his stripes, I'm already healed. So in a situation like this, I can't say, oh my God, I'm going to die. I can't say that. I can only say what I want, which should be health and life, and I should only say what the word of God says. Now, listen to me. Where's the balance in this? The balance is wisdom is the principal thing, and God gave us doctors. You understand? So I'm going to go to the doctor. I will take a test. I will take a medicine. I will take the surgery, because it's all in concert with my level of faith. You got it? Don't be going and getting super spiritual on Pastor talking about, oh, Pastor, I told the doctor I don't need him. I just got Dr. Jesus all by myself. No, you are afraid. You understand what I'm saying? And so we got to take you from a place of fear and get you back into a place of faith so you can walk into that doctor's office with faith, realizing that, watch this, either one or two things going to happen. You're going to give me some medicine, we're going to have the surgery, or miraculously, God's going to heal me. But one way or the other, I am already healed. Because the devil's going to tell you, you're going to die. And don't let him tell you that without talking back to him. See, do you know what's funny to me? It's amazing to me how we will not talk back to the devil. We talk back to everybody. We started when we were young. Talk back to your mama. Talk back to your daddy. You got it? Well, if you was me, you didn't talk back to your daddy or your mama. After you picked up all your pieces, you know. But anyways, I'm just, because people nowadays say that's abuse and I don't want to get into all that, you know. I turned out pretty good. But anyways, you can only say what the word of God says, and you got to learn how to talk back to the devil. You got it? I mean, we talk to everybody. We talk back to everybody. Yeah, you know, like, you know, and the devil, and that's why you got to, you know, just be careful to always be spiritual. And I'm being serious when I say this, you know, because the enemy will try some things. You know, you walk in at Walmart and you bump the dude on accident and it drops his phone. Say, oh, my bad, bro. You thought he was going to say, okay, no problem, because that's what adults do, right? If I'm walking by you and I bump you on accident and you drop your phone and I apologize, say, hey, I'm sorry. What you going to say? No problem, right? But, you know, but if he raised up like, man, who you think you are? And you bleep, 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 bleep. Even though you're saved, you're carnal. You got there's some carnality. And if you're not careful, you'll go to your pre-Jesus script. You understand what I'm saying? remind you really don't know me. Like I'm trying to do right. I'm going to church down there. That little young man preaching and it's working. But right now, all I'm seeing is red. You got it? And you, what you need to do is just walk on down the road, you know. And then he says something else. You understand what I'm saying? And then he steps up to you. You understand? Now the devil's in your head. Are you a man or are you a punk? What you gonna do? You gonna let him step up to you like? And your wife is pulling on you. Babe, let's go. He's like, don't listen to her right now. You understand? And now the devil will have you fighting with your wife. Get off of me. And then he'll jump over to the wife. See how he acting right now? Yeah, I told you he don't like to listen to nobody. He just don't like to tell him he don't like to listen to nobody. He is trying to deal with this dude who stepped up to him. And now all of a sudden he's dealing with her. Saying, you just don't like to listen to anybody. Now he's fighting with him and he's fighting with her. You got it? And now he's going to say, oh, you don't know me. You got it? And you wait a minute. I'm going to talk to you later. We'll talk to everybody but the devil. When Jesus was in the wilderness fasting, he was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. The enemy would come up to him and say, if you'll do this, I'll give you this. And if you do this, I'll give you this. And if you do this, and I'll give you this. Every time Jesus came back at him with the word, he says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. It is written that thou shalt have no other God before you. When the enemy comes at you, you got to go back at him with the word. Pastor, I don't know the word. Ooh, it's okay, because you're at the right place. I need a confession book. You got it? Whoever, I can get one from the back. If somebody got one, whoever it is, can just feel free to bring me. I have one right there. That's $20 just because you was fast. Thank you, baby. And you're going to get your book back, but you just got to remind me, all right? No, listen to me. I'm off my lesson, but it's okay. This is where the Lord wants us to go right now, right? Because the enemy will give you every excuse. You new to that church, you don't know the word like all them people know the word. Matter of fact, you don't even really fit in. You understand what I'm saying? I thought the pastor said he dressed down. He dressed up today. You understand what I'm saying? You know, that's what the enemy will do. Because he'll talk to you over time. And try to get you. You're not mature enough, man. You don't know the word like the pastor. The pastor can win because he's been saved since he was a little boy. No, everybody can win if Jesus is on the inside of you. You don't need to know the word like I need to know the word. You got it? You just need to know some word. And our church is designed that when you come to our church, we're going to give you what you need for the word. You got it? We've got this confession on the go. Does anybody? Now, this is going to be a little bit tougher. The Pray First Journal. The Pray First Journal. Do we have any of those? Anybody got a Pray First Journal? Someone said, I wish I had because I needed that $20, right? I need that $20 right now, all right? And there might be one in the back. You can check in the back, Shelton. But so anyways, we've given you a Pray First Journal. We've given you a confession book. What is this confession book? This is nothing but the word of God, right? So on 23, it's a confession of blessings. Where'd you get this from? In the back? Just the churches? Oh, you can't get no $20 for that one. So you had one? Oh, you should have brought it to me. Here, Ben, come get this one. Let's act like that didn't happen. Does anybody have a Prayer First Journal? Anybody? Oh, my goodness. She needs 40. She does need $40. Ellen, she needs $40. After service, give her $40. Look at this thing. She's been praying this thing. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I'm not sick, but I'm healed. I'm not poor, but I'm rich. I'm not defeated, but I have the victory. I'm not alone, but I have a friend. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm not conquered, but I'm more than a conqueror. My faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm hearkening diligently unto the Lord. I'm committed to walk holy before the Lord. With my whole heart, the blessings of the Lord are come upon me and overtaking me this day. I've been set on high above every evil person this day by the Lord. I'm blessing the city. I'm blessing the field. Really, what I'm reading to you is here on 23. It's not in here anywhere, but it's here all the time. And that's what you got to get to. So don't ever say you don't have the word. You do. Because there's a confession of unity, confession of love, confession of favor. When I just said earlier, he's taking my name from the bottom to the top. Policies, rules, regulations, and laws are being changed and reversed on my behalf. You got it's on page 15. There's a confession of healing for your body. There's a confession over your offering. If you're going to give tithe and offering, you might as well make a confession and call increase into your life. You got it? There's a confession for debt freedom. How many in the house want to be debt free? You got to say what the word says. There's a confession of increase. There's a confession for when you're fasting. To all my singles, there's a confession for you. For my husbands, there's a confession for you. It says, I will shine on her like the sun shines on the earth. I commit to change whatever needs to be changed. You got it's in there. It's in here too. You understand what I'm saying? I used to need this all the time. All the time. But the more I kept saying it, and the more I kept saying it, it went from here and dropped down to here. Right? There's a confession for childbearing. You know, when you're pregnant, you got it? And so, you know, you cover the baby when you're pregnant. There's declaration fit scriptures. There's increase scriptures. There's healing scriptures. There's a regimen that we have in the back that I wrote personally, and I asked every member to pray for it. It has to do with the vision of our church. And then, oh, man, I love this pray first journey. This is something that God gave us recently. I don't have time to go into all that. But we gave you the word. We gave you the word. Okay, return those for me, Pastor Pat, because I don't want to be a thief. All right, so I'm not going to go where I was going to go, but walk with me. All right? All right, what's our last scripture That's right, John 17:17, I quote it. Mark 11 is the last one up on the screen, right? All right, did I read verse 23? I did. We're going to read it again. All right? Based on what I just told you, information I just gave you, see, because people, you know, God is not spooky. God is not magical, but he is sovereign. So the Bible says that he takes his word and he sets it higher than himself. But some kind of way, the Bible says that he looks over his word to perform it. So to the degree that I have faith and apply this word, I'm going to see it come to pass in my life. You got it? Oh, just remember, just keep 23 up there. I remember, man, when my pastor years ago started teaching that God wanted us blessed. I was like, well, that's good because I need to be blessed. I need some money right now. I mean, that's just, you know, the way I was feeling, right? And, you know, and so we started confessing the word of God over our lives, over our finances. And when we did that, something happened in the spirit realm. When the Bible talks about, if you give your tithe in Malachi 3, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there might be meat for my house. And he says, prove me. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there might not be room enough to receive. Well, the blessing is the anointing to prosper. I told you that a few minutes ago, right? All right? But the windows of heaven is not literal, you know, windows that God lifts up and he drops out $100 bills. You're like, thank you, Jesus. That's not what that is, right? Windows have to do with what have to do with inspired ideas and opportunities and the wisdom of God and the favor of God. Does that make sense? And so when I give now, it puts me in covenant with God, and now my heart is open to receive ideas and wisdom and things that'll increase my life. Not just in the financial realm, but in every realm of my life. So because I'm in covenant with God, my marriage ought to be better. My kids ought to be better. My money ought to be better. Does that make sense? Everything ought to be better. Watch this. But I've got to do my part and work the word. Does that make sense? My marriage is amazing. I'm not saying I'm perfect. You got it. Later tell you he ain't perfect. You got it. But we have an amazing marriage. This December, we'll be married 21 years. When I say amazing, amen. It's amazing, right? But it's amazing because we confessed it and we put the work in to make it amazing. Does that make sense? Have amazing children. Y'all do too. We all do, you know, but I'm just talking about mine right now. Every frog praises his own pie. But I put the work in. You got it? I taught my son, when you walk up to somebody, you look at them in the eyes and you shake their hand. You got it? If they ask you a question, it's a gentleman, you say yes, sir. If you talk to a lady, you say yes, ma'am. You understand? Some people always come now, you know, Jay 16. They're like, man, Jay, he's just such a good kid. He's so respectful. Well, I'm not trying to be funny. That just didn't happen. You got it? Even now, I'm teaching Jay, you know, different things, you know, and I've just had a little chat with him today. And sometimes, you know, he'll be like, okay, yeah, you know, I got your dad. You know, because that's just how teenagers are. You don't have to get off first. See, you ain't listening to what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to help you because I've been down the road you've been before. No, they're getting it. And every time I get done with one of my little lessons, I say, love you, bud. He says, love you too, dad. You got it? And I know it's working because when something comes up, he'll call me or he'll text me, hey, can we talk? Yeah. But I have to put the work in to get him to where he needs to be so that way when he grows up and leaves, everything's going to be all right for him. Does that make sense? So you got to put the work in. See, the will of God is not automatic. He needs our permission and our participation to usher his will into our lives. In other words, it's not just going to fall in your lap. The word of God is here, but you got to work the word. Does that make sense? Boy, this young man is teaching up in here this morning. He is helping somebody. You know, everybody wants to be debt free, but nobody wants to stop spending money. Womp, 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 womp. Everybody wants to be debt free, but nobody wants to abide by a budget. You got it? Everybody wants to be debt free, but I don't want nobody to tell me how to spend my money. You got it? And it's when we get into, I'm getting ahead of myself. When we get into the giving part, I'm going to show you that one of the problems is sometimes someone says, I'm a giver, but it's not working because when I tithe, that's just one part of it, but stewardship is the other part. So I have to give and be a good steward of what's left over. If I put those two together, increase is going to show up in my life in an amazing way. Does that make sense? You got it? All right. Oh, man, I got a minute and 54 seconds. Can I give you all this last scripture? Okay. All right. Mark 11 and 23. For verily, not everything that I've just said, you should read this a different way. For verily... I'm sorry. Yeah. 23. Where you at? For verily I say unto you that whosoever, that's you, shall say, I got to open my mouth and speak. I got to talk back to the enemy, the mountain, the challenge, whatever it is I'm facing. So whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. You're going to have what you say. Verse 24. Watch this. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, not if ye pray, because God fully expects you to pray. You got it? And everybody prays differently. What did I say? You got it? So you hear somebody like Mother C praying, you'll get intimidated, like, Lord, I can't pray like that. Well, Mother would tell you she couldn't always pray like that either. In the beginning, all of us, when we learned to pray, we were just like, look, some prayers were just, Lord, help me in Jesus' name. And do you know God hears that prayer and God receives that prayer and God will help you just like that? You got it? And so, you know, there's times in our lives we get frustrated. And you're so frustrated, you don't even know what all the word says right now because you're so frustrated. And you just be like, God, help me. And the moment you call on God, he'll step in to help you. So the writer says that, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them and you should have them. When do I believe that I receive them? The moment that I pray. So the moment that I pray, I believe that I have just spoke what the word says. I've made my request known unto God. You got it? And now there are things that are happening in the spirit realm that through the process of time are going to show up in the natural realm along with me doing the natural things that God needs me to do in the earth. You got it? Spirit working with natural to bring together the will of God for my life. Are y'all getting it? And the reason why, and even though it has not showed up yet, it's okay. It's okay. I'm in joy. I'm in anticipation. I'm in expectation because it is working. It's working. So even though, watch this, I'm still in a situation that's less desirable, I've got joy. Let's go home, Courtney. It's getting late. Even though I'm in a situation that's a little frustrating, it's okay because I got joy. And my joy is going to overshadow that frustration. All right. Whoo. Did y'all get anything out of this? All right. Okay, I need about 3 minutes. She's going to play softly for about 3 minutes. I need about 3 minutes to share something with you. And I promise you, I'm speaking to your heart. So when I'm talking to you right now, I don't want you to think about the person to the left. I don't want you to think about the person to the right. I'm talking to you. Everybody repeat after me. Situations that look dead can still live. One more time. Situations that look dead can still live. See, this is why you can never allow what happens to you to affect what happens in you. Crazy things happen, painful things happen. If we're not careful, unforgiveness, bitterness, all those kind of things said, don't let it happen. All right? When we forgive, it's not about just letting somebody off the hook. Right? They were wrong for what they did. But more is at stake than me walking in unforgiveness and holding my heart back from what God has for me. So when I forgive you, watch this, I'm releasing you but I'm also releasing whatever it is that was in my heart because God's got so many amazing things he wants to do in my life. Does that make sense? Well, it ain't right. I know it ain't right, but let God deal with that. Don't you worry about it. Everybody say situations that look dead can still live. Y'all remember Peter? He was fishing. He had fished all night. He was in the morning, and he was washing his nets. And Jesus shows up, Sea of Galilee. Jesus shows up and says, hey, Peter, what you doing? We washing this. How'd it go? It didn't go so good, Jesus. And he said, Jesus sees a whole bunch of people. People follow Jesus everywhere he went. Jesus said, well, do you mind while you cleaning if I get on your boat and preach to the people? He said, yeah, that's fine. And he gets on the boat. He said, well, can you push it back a little bit so I can see the crowd? Peter said, yeah, that's okay. And so Peter's doing it. Jesus begins to teach the kingdom of God, right? Kingdom of God has to do with righteousness, with peace, with joy, with increase. So that's what Jesus is teaching. And the people are blessed. And so now Jesus says, there's no way you can do something for me with me not doing something for you. So he tells Peter, he says, Peter, he says, I want you to go back fishing. Peter said, Jesus, I appreciate it, man. We tired. The boy's tired. We've been out all night. You know, this is what we do. We know at what point where the fish are and when they come up and go down. We good. And Jesus says, I need you to trust me on this. I need you to go fishing. And then Peter's like, Jesus, I appreciate it. But you got to understand, you know, the fish have went all the way down. You got it. Sun's come out. And, you know, I know you don't get this, Jesus, because you're a preacher. You understand what I'm saying? But I am a fisherman. My daddy was a fisherman. My granddaddy was a fisherman. My great-granddaddy was a fisherman. You got it? Sometimes we know too much to really receive what God has for us. So Jesus said, just launch out into the deep. So Peter said, okay. And then we know the story. He gets all this fish. Had to call his partners to come help him. Why? Because situations that look dead can still live. Y'all remember the woman with the issue of blood? She had went to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor, but she heard about a man named Jesus. Said, he don't got to come to me. If I can just get into his presence and touch the hem of his garment. She said, the Bible said, before she got to him, I shall be made whole. The reason she was made whole was because of her faith. Jesus says, daughter, your faith hath made you whole. Situations that look dead, they can live. So what situation do you have in your life that maybe you've given up on? What situation do you have in your life that you've been tugging with and it seemed like you can't get that thing to work? Maybe what you need to do is reignite your faith in that area so you can see God do some amazing things. Last one, and I'm closing. Remember when Jesus had a friend, his name was Lazarus, and he had gotten sick, and they called for Jesus, and he ended up dying because Jesus didn't show up quick enough? In their mind. See, sometimes Jesus don't do what you think he ought to do. So Jesus finds out that he's, you know, they come send for him, say, hey man, you know, your friend is dead. So Jesus, he heads that way. Jesus goes that way, he shows up, you know, Mary and them, they kind of upset. If you'd have been here, my brother would have not died. It wasn't Jesus' fault. You got it. But this is the kicker in that story. Jesus begins to say, oh, you know, he's not dead and he's going to live again. She said, I know in the resurrection, I know the word. And that's the problem. Sometimes we think we know the word. He said, oh, I ain't even talking about that. He said, I am the resurrection. I ain't dead. And this is what he says. He says, show me where you've laid him. They're like, man, he been in there 4 days, and he stink, and he this, and he that. And sometimes we make too many excuses after excuse after excuse after excuse of why it won't work. So Jesus says, show me where you laid him. But they didn't really want to because that was a painful situation. And what he was saying is, I want you to take the power of God to the place in your life where there's pain. I want you to take the power of God to the place in your life where maybe you stop believing. I want you to take the power of God to the place in your life, to that thing that seems like it's dead, because situations that are dead, they can still live. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers praying all over the building. I know a few people have to move, but I need nobody besides those few people that have to move. I got